So you're thinking about building a small solar system, maybe for a shed or a camper or an RV or maybe just for emergencies? What a coincidence, so am I. Let's go figure it out together. All right, so let's say that you really don't need the portability of something like one of these power stations here, these portable power stations. Maybe you want something more permanent mounted, either in an RV or a van, or maybe a shed. Let's say you want to build your own solar generator system that can grow with you. Well, you're going to need a few basic components to start, and that's what we're going to do. So first of all, you're going to need a way to store your power. So you're going to have to start with a battery. So the system we're going to build together here is I would call it a small system that's expandable. I'm going to use a 100 amp hour battery. And some of these components were given to me, like Ampere Time did provide this battery for me, this lithium iron phosphate battery. And then Bouge RV provided the charge controller, because you're going to need a way to get the power from the solar panels into the battery. So that's where the charge controller comes into play. So we don't just want to store power, right? We want to be able to use it too. So we need an AC inverter. So I bought this particular inverter with my own money off Amazon because I wanted to do this video and I didn't have all the pieces that I needed. So I needed more than just a battery and a charge controller. Now this is a 2000 watt pure sine wave inverter. So it handles 2000 watts continuous and up to 4000 watts peak. Now that's probably overkill for what we're going to be using here. It's probably at least double of what I really need. But again, I wanted to build a system that I can easily expand. So I'm going to have the components in place that all I need to do if I want to expand this is add another battery and then add another solar panel or two. And then I've instantly got a significantly larger capacity system. So this is going to be a great sort of entry-level size, a starter size, if you will, for a solar generator, something that would be appropriate for a little small workshop shed if you want to be able to power lights and fans and that kind of thing. This would be absolutely more than adequate for something like this. You could actually power some power tools for reasonable periods of time with this size system as well. But so what else do we need? Now, all these other items I'm going to show you, these are all things that I bought with my own money. So again, the only things that I've actually been sponsored with for this video are the charge controller and the battery. So I did buy this is an 8-gauge battery cable from Amazon. This will allow me to go from the charge controller to the battery. I do want to add the capability to use DC power directly instead of not just AC power. So I picked this up off of Amazon. This is kind of cool. It's got an on-off switch. It's got a little voltmeter so I can see how much volts this thing is currently drawing. And then it's got a couple of low power type C USB ports, and then a 12 volt socket here so that I can power a 12 volt refrigerator off that if I want to. So that's going to be cool. I've not actually done one of these before, but this is going to be fun. This is just a box of miscellaneous wire tie down. So once we get this all set up, we're going to want to clean up the install. So since I'm going to be doing some cutting and crimping of cables, I bought myself a decent quality crimper. That's obviously optional depending on whether or not you need to crimp your cables. I want to keep my cable runs nice and short for maximum efficiency. So I figured I might as well go ahead and get a crimper while I'm at it. Got a wire stripper. Now this is designed for heavier gauge wire, so that'll be handy. Wire cutter. So this is just some wire snips. I always look at these kinds of videos as an opportunity for me to buy new tools. So I got miscellaneous copper connectors and shrink tubes, so heat shrink tubes. So these are going to be ways when I'm making cable connections that I can terminate properly with a proper sized terminal connector, and then make sure that it's properly covered and heat shrinked so it doesn't contact something unnecessarily or unexpectedly. Now, to protect your devices and reduce the risk of something like fire and for unexpected circumstances, you're going to want a fuse or circuit breaker. Now, something like this is a 200 amp fuse, and you'd normally position this between the positive terminal on the battery and the positive terminal on the inverter. Now, another way to go about that, and so I'm probably not actually going to use that fuse. Instead, I've got a 200 amp waterproof breaker. So this is going to enable me to basically very easily disable power to the battery from the inverter and vice versa if I want to do some work. So I don't have to disconnect cables. I can just simply trip the breaker and disconnect power. And then between the battery and the charge controller, I've got a 50 amp breaker. So other than some miscellaneous wires and connectors, That's about it. And obviously a little piece of plywood that I can mount all this on. So now that I've got all this laid out and you kind of got an idea of what the various pieces and parts are, and by the way, I'll put links to these pieces in the description of the video if you're interested in seeing what they are and how much they cost. But let's go to a workspace where I can spread out and actually start laying out the parts on the board and figure out where I'm going to put everything. So let's go do that and we'll just kind of figure out how all this works together. All right, I've got my 2x2 plywood laid out here. This is just basically half inch thick plywood. And I need to figure out how I want to arrange my inverter and my charge controller. And I've got a couple of these breakers here. This breaker obviously is going to sit between the charge controller and the inverter. And then this breaker down here is going to sit between the inverter and the battery. And then I also need to figure out where I'm going to put my 12 volt accessory ports here. So I think I'm going to just put those right down here, and I'm going to just basically take these things out and then use this little faceplate as a guide to draw the holes where I can drill right into the plywood. Now it looks like I've got a lot of extra space here on the left, so I think I'm just going to draw a quick line here, and then I'm going to rip down this board so that I don't have all this extra space on the side that I don't really need.
2 hours later.
All right, so I've got my my mounting plywood here ripped down the side to remove the excess surface area. And I've got my main modules here, my solar charge controller mounted and my inverter mounted. And then I've got my 50 amp fuse mounted here and my 200 amp fuse mounted here. By the way, I didn't mention this in the other earlier part of the video, but highly recommend getting a decent multimeter and being able to use that to test your connections. Test the output from your solar panels. You can test the current voltage on your batteries. Just really great for troubleshooting and great for knowing exactly what's going on, and also making sure that the data you're getting here matches the data that you're getting directly off the battery or from your test leads from your multimeter. So highly recommend that. Now I wanted to point something out. This charge controller here from Bouge RV, this is about $150, and it is an MPPT charge controller, also known as a, let's see, this is a maximum power point tracking, I think is what MPPT stands for. This is a very cheap, inexpensive alternative. And I use the term cheap and inexpensive because it is inexpensive for sure, because it only costs about $20. But this is a case of you get what you pay for. It is very cheap in addition to being inexpensive. So this is a rated at 20 amps, whereas this one is rated at 40 amps. So obviously there's a big difference there. This is also a PWM type charge controller, which isn't bad just based on the surface, you know, just on the fact that it's a PWM, that's pulse width modulation. But this is not going to be as efficient at drawing power out of your solar panel and charging your battery as the MPP type charge controllers will be. The other thing that really makes me leery about using something like this, when you've got a lithium ion battery in particular, something that is fairly expensive, I mean, these things run several hundred dollars. Do you really want to take a chance on cooking that battery if something goes wrong with a $15 or $20 charge controller? I personally don't think that's a fair trade-off. So I would rather not use one of these, even though it's a very low price of entry. I would much rather use something like this, which is in the $150 range, but very, very well made. So that's just my little rant on cheap charge controllers. So now that I got everything mounted, we need to connect the wires that are going to connect to our solar panels. As I mentioned, this system is designed to be expandable. This one little pigtail that I've got here to an Anderson connector, I can plug into the PV side, which is going to be these two terminals right here. And this I'm just going to kind of tie down here, and then this will go to an adapter with MC4 connectors on it that I can use to connect to my 200 watt Bouge RV rigid solar panel. So that'll be fine for a single solar panel, but with the gauge of this wire, if I wanted to hook up, say, two 200 watt solar panels, I would want a heavier gauge wire than this, rather than, because this wire is only really spec'd for a maximum of about 10 amps. And that should be fine for most circumstances with a single 200 watt solar panel. But you definitely do want to make sure that your wires are properly gauged to the current that they're going to be handling. So that said, let me put that aside. Now, really, I've just got to make my wire termination. So this is, the fuses are going to be always on the positive or the red wire. So I'm going to be taking This is the larger one. This is going to go to the bottom of this fuse, and this is going to go directly to the battery. But then I need to also take the positive here to the positive on the inverter, then the positive on the inverter to the positive on this 50 amp fuse. And then over here, the positive up to the charge controller. So these will all be red wires. And then the black or common wire, the smaller one, I'm going to need to cut this to fit from here over to the common on the inverter. And then I've got the main, obviously the main battery cable that'll come down from the common on the, or the negative on the inverter, and goes straight to the battery. So the only other thing is these little DC connections. So I did drill the holes, as you can see. So that actually worked out really, really cool. The only thing is that it didn't occur to me the width of this half inch drywall or half inch plywood is going to be a problem. I'm not going to be able to use the little retaining ring on the bottom side of the drywall to cinch this particular little voltmeter down. There's not going to be enough thread sticking out to do that. So I think the solution there for me, instead of just trying to drill a bigger hole, which will be a little bit of a challenge without a drill press, is I'm just going to actually put some super glue around this little flange and then just super glue this into place once I get it where I want it. So I think that's going to be the easiest solution there. Everything around it's going to be cinched down, and then the faceplate itself is going to be screwed into the panel. So that's going to look nice when I get it all set up. Oh, before I go ahead and get my cable terminations all set up, I wanted to go ahead and directly wire the battery to the inverter without the fuses, just so I can test the inverter, since this is a brand new inverter and I've not tested it before. Go ahead and get this plastic off of there. All shiny and new. I kind of wanted to see what the display looks like. So let's turn this thing on and hopefully we don't see any sparks. Cool. So there's actually a color display. We've got 13 volts DC in. We're outputting 111 volts out of this. So I can hook appliances up to this right now and actually run them. So that's pretty neat. All right, I got a floor fan here. Let me just go ahead and plug this in. See if it fires up. Yep, I'm assuming you can hear that. It's actually right over there. All right, so we know the inverter works. I'm gonna go ahead and take these wires back off and then go ahead and do the wire terminations as I had originally planned them. So I got all my wire terminations done. You can see I've got the everything nice and tied down here. This is a little pigtail to my Anderson connector that goes to my solar panels. I've got my breakers currently tripped here, so I'm not getting any power. I've gone ahead and hooked up my positive negative leads to the battery. And I'm just going to test everything. You'll notice some discoloration down here on the voltmeter on the little DC panel. I ended up having to super glue this, and so I went and, you know, and bought some of this Loctite super glue gel that's supposed to dry clear, but it didn't. It dried kind of white, chalky, hazy. I got some of it off. I probably used too much. Maybe that was my problem. Taking a quick look at the back of the panel here, these are the DC ports that I had mounted. And these came as all one block, by the way. And they're, you know, attached to one single faceplate. And each one is held by these retaining rings. And you can see where the meter, this is the little voltmeter module, didn't have enough thread sticking through the plywood. So that's the one I super glued in with maybe less than ideal results. But the other three were just fine. But as you can see, the wiring is very easy. So you're just basically taking all of the positive terminals and connecting them in parallel, and then all of the negative terminals and connecting them in parallel. So that's how all of that connects. It's very straightforward. Sure, you can figure that out. Just need a decent pair of wire strippers and you know, an inexpensive crimper, terminal crimper, to set that up. And it all works fine. But I've got the positive and negative leads coming from the DC module up through this little hole I drilled here, and the black common is going to the with the other commons on the inverter, and then the red is going to the this side of the positive on the 50 amp circuit. All I really need to do is to energize this breaker here, and let's just see if we get some power. Okay, that's cool. We get 13.1 volts. Let's make sure we've got inverter power. Okay, inverter is showing 13.0 volts. So let's go ahead and energize the charge controller, and it is coming on. That's cool. I'm reading 13.2 volts. So we got 13.2, 13.1, and 13.0. So this is where it's kind of interesting if we were to take our multimeter here and just get a reality check on that. 13.08 volts. So we are just a hair below 13.1. This is obviously has a precision of 1/10, so it's just rounding up. So this is actually fairly precise. This is also 1/10. It happens to be rounding down. So if you look at between the inverter and the charge controller, 13.2, 13.0, I'm actually kind of right in the middle of these two values. This is slightly high, this is slightly low, and this one is actually pretty much right on within 0.02, right on the money. So anyway, I think that's all the damage we can do tonight. So since it's dark out, we have to wait till tomorrow and hope we get some decent sun, and I can hook up some solar panels and get this thing charging. All right, got some nice morning sun, and I am putting power into the solar generator here. So I am charging my Ampere Time 100 amp hour battery. So let's launch the Charge Pro. This is Charge Pro 2.0. This is the app that you can use to Bluetooth monitor the Booj RV charge controller. And I've already got my Bluetooth connection established here. So we are getting 125, 124 watts currently into the battery right now, and 9.4 amps. And my battery voltage is 13.5. Ampere Time gives you a really nice little matrix that shows you the state of charge based on the battery voltage. And you can see there at the top of the list, at 13.5, I am roughly at 100%, or approximately at 100%. So these numbers are all approximations. They're not exact numbers. Let's do some testing here. Let's actually put an AC load on the inverter and see if we can find out how, you know, how it reacts when we start actually drawing some significant wattage out of this thing. All right, so let's go ahead and turn on the hairdryer here. I'm gonna put it on warm heat and low. Let's see, we're drawing 9% load. Go ahead and try pulling a high fan with medium heat. About 47%, put the hot element on. A little over 50, 67% load. This should be pulling about 1,400 watts right now, and this inverter is capable of 2,000 watts continuous. That's cool. All right, time to test the thing that I'm not super confident about. I have got here one of my 12-volt refrigerators, and it's currently off, as you can see. So I'm not 100% sure that the fuses that are attached on these, that came with the wiring with these little sensors, and that's these guys right here. I don't know what size fuses those are. I couldn't figure that out from the product spec, and I didn't take the little assembly apart to look. So we're gonna find out if I blow a fuse. So if suddenly this goes out, we'll know, because there's one main positive wire here with a fuse feeding the power connector here. So if this fuse blows, everything else is dead. So what we're gonna do is turn that off. I'm gonna plug this in to this socket, and we're gonna find out if I can power the refrigerator or not. So let's turn this on. All right, and all right, actually, we're good. You can see that's the internal temperature now. So the compressor is actually running. This is a very quiet unit. This is the new air, 48 quart. So, cool. That works. I am powering the fridge off of this AC, or off of this little DC module here. I wasn't sure if this fridge was going to pull too much power. So clearly it does not. So that's excellent. really happy with this setup. As I mentioned originally, I kind of designed this so that I could expand this at some point if I wanted to. I already have 2000 watt continuous 4000 watt inverter, and so it'd be very easy for me to add just a second battery. So if you're curious what this 100 amp hour equates to in terms of watt hours, like a lot of portable power stations are rated at, just multiply 12 times 100 amp hours and you get watt hours. So 1200 watt hours is the rated capacity for this battery. So I could add another 100 amp hour battery and I would get 2400 watt hours of capacity with the second battery. I wouldn't need to change the inverter. I really wouldn't need to change anything because if I put the batteries in parallel, I'm going to maintain 12 volts, and then my charge controller absolutely can handle another 200 watts of input easily, since this is a 40 amp charge controller. The 40 amp actually refers to the output capacity, so it can max out at 40 amps in terms of sending current to the battery. But easily you can handle a couple of 200 watt panels with this, no problem at all. In fact, you can handle a fair amount more than that. So hopefully you got the sense that this is actually a very doable project and something you can definitely handle if you just take your time and do a little bit of research to make sure that you got your wires gauged properly, so that whatever system you end up setting up is safe to operate. I will be going into some more information on another video on the Ampere Time 100 amp hour battery, and also another video that'll be more specific to the charge controller from Bouge RV, that 40 amp charge controller right there. I'm going to get into the app and kind of the configuration options and talk a little bit more about what you can do with that charge controller, because it's very cool. Then, of course, I've got the AC inverter. There was really not any configuration options on the AC inverter other than the remote control, which I think I showed you when I was doing some of the other little bits and pieces. But we didn't really need the remote control in this setup, but it's really great. If you're actually setting up a shed system or an RV system, something like that, then this is going to be kind of tucked away out of reach, and it would be nice to have that remote control, which it does come with a pretty long cable for that. So it's pretty handy. And as I mentioned, I'll put links to all this stuff in the description below if you want to go check out and see how much the stuff costs. And then, maybe you can tweak the system to better suit whatever needs that you have. So anyway, thanks for joining me. If you found any of this useful, I would really appreciate it if you give me a thumbs up on the video. It super does help. And consider subscribing if you're not a subscriber. That's all I got for you. I hope to see you in the next one. Until then, have fun out there.